5 White House employees were asked to resign last week, and others have been reassigned to work remotely because they used marijuana in the past, even though the Biden administration had said it would relax longstanding White House policies so recreational marijuana use wouldn't automatically disqualify someone from being hired. Adult use of cannabis is legal in Washington, D.C. and in 15 states, and medical marijuana is legal in 36 states, but it remains illegal under federal law, and guidelines on past use for employees of the White House and other companies are not always clear. Let's bring in Derek Thompson. He's a staff writer at The Atlantic and joins us now from Washington, as he does every Monday. Hey, Derek.
Hello. Good to be here.
Glad to have you again. And I'm wondering, what does this situation with the White House firings or resignations reveal about the sort of murky rules about past marijuana use and working for the federal government?
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of de rigueur for me to answer this question with a pun, like the federal government's marijuana guidelines are hazy, or this is a lot of smoke and mirrors. I feel like that's very common among journalist representations of marijuana policy. But the bottom line truth is that this is just extremely confusing. There's federal law, there's local law, there's DC common knowledge, and then there's administration policy. So federal law says marijuana isn't legal. Local law in Washington, D.C. says that the possession of small amounts of marijuana is legal. Then there's common knowledge in D.C. among people who want to work for the federal government. And that common knowledge basically says that, look, you might be able to get hired by an incoming administration, but good luck getting a security clearance for top security jobs if you use marijuana commonly. And then finally, there's administration policy. And that's just been very confusing because the Biden team, on the one hand, has said that they have new personnel guidelines, that it might be more okay to hire people with past marijuana use. But then on the other hand, you have the firing of these 5 people. So this just goes to show how unbelievably confusing it is in a federalist system when federal policy and local law and local behavior are all at odds at the same time.
Yeah, it's dizzying. There's so many different components there. Let's drill down, though, on the administration policy since you mentioned it. And it starts at the top, of course. President Biden himself is not as comfortable with cannabis as many of the Democrats that he ran against in last year's primary, Derek. But, you know, his administration's employee guidelines are looser than his predecessors. So how so?
Yeah, I think that's a good way of framing this. So Biden has never been as far left or as progressive on this issue as a lot of leaders of the party. But at the same time, the administration, when it came in, said that they were going to update their personnel guidelines to make it easier to hire people who admitted to previous recreational use of marijuana. At the same time, it's just a little uncomfortable or bizarre for this White House to have a headline showing that they're firing people for marijuana use, when at the same time, you know, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, he's been doing outreach to the weed industry. Vice President Kamala Harris, she admitted to smoking pot when she was in college, I believe, like a lot of people have. I mean, Bill Clinton very famously said he partook but did not inhale, or whatever it was that he particularly said. So you have a situation.
Right, and Harris joked that she did inhale. So
right, and yeah, exactly. Harris said that she did inhale. So she said that was the point. So you have a situation where people are essentially being fired from the administration whose vice president has admitted to that very same behavior. It's just a little weird, and it goes to show how bizarre it is to have practice and federal policy at such fundamental odds.
Let's talk about the sort of broader cultural context here too, Derek, because public opinion on marijuana has evolved quite a bit in a relatively short period of time. Fill in those blanks. I mean, how have attitudes been shifting, and what do you think is behind that?
So let's look at, say, the last, you know, 30, 31 years. In 1989, 16% of Americans said that marijuana should be legal. Now it's 67. So that number has essentially, you know, it's gone up by a factor of 4. We are an entirely different world from the last time that federal guidelines on marijuana were written. And as a result, I think that you see not only, you know, districts like Washington, D.C., but states like the ones that you mentioned moving on both medical use and recreational use. Things are changing on a state-by-state level, but the federal government, which has been kludgy and has been slow to move overall when it comes to passing new laws and updating regulation, has not moved to change this. And I think that that's why this story hit such a nerve, is that it was such a stark reminder that American behavioral use and American public opinion had evolved so much in the last 30 years in a period when federal law had not moved at all.
Last thing, Derek, real quick. I mean, I'm wondering whether there are still examples in the workplace where it makes sense to keep a zero tolerance policy because we've seen public opinion shift, but not every company has done the same.
Yeah, you know, under the umbrella of a federal law that says that, you know, marijuana is not legal, companies are going to make their own decisions. And some companies, based on their culture, are going to say, we couldn't possibly care less, and we're never going to ask questions about this. And then, look, there might be others that are working in high-security systems and high-security industries where they want to make sure to their clients and to their colleagues that the people who are hired to do really important high-security jobs are not, you know, smoking pot on the regular. That is sure. Their federal right. But at the same time, we don't ask these questions about alcohol, and that has to do with it with a distinction that is just a matter of American history.
Derek Thompson, staff writer at The Atlantic. We'll have to leave it there. Thank you.
Thank you.